We are learning the Sicha of Shlach, the first Sicha in Shlach of Chelek Yudches, the 18th volume of Lekuta Sichas. This Sicha will explain what exactly was the chait, the sin of the miraglim, the spies, and also explain what is the sin of Miriam when she spoke against your brother or about your brother Moshe. So we are going to read the Sicha inside the way it's written in Yiddish, translate and try to explain. Sicha begins Seif Aleph. In Atcholos HaSedre stellt sich Rashi of the Werter Shlach Lecho Anoshim. Rashi quotes the beginning of the Parsha, the word Shlach Lecho Anoshim, sent forth for yourself men, which is Mefarish. And Rashi explains, Lomo Nismecho Parshas Meraglim LeParshas Miriam. Why is the Parsha, the verses which is dealing with the Meraglim, with the spies, why is it placed right next to her, the Parsha which is dealing with Miriam, which is the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Baal Oischo? And he explains why. Lefi shelokso al iske dibo shedibro be'acher, because Miriam was punished for iske dibo, for being preoccupied with dibo, which is literally means gossiping, shedibro be'acher, when she spoke regarding your brother. So she was punished mitzoras, as we spoke, as we saw in like the end of the Parshas Baal Oischo. Bereshoi malolu, and those wicked people, which is the miraglim, the spies, ro'u beloi lokhu musor. They saw what happened to here, to Miriam, and yet they did not take any lesson from it. And they also spoke against Eretz Yisrael. This is what Rashi explains, is the connection, the relationship between the story of Miriam and the story of Meraglim, which is mentioned in the beginning of this parsha. Darf man verstehen. So this explanation needs explanation. Bigiretra in kamo peomim, as von dem was nor in gezählte Erter, Bavorn Drashi den Tam Fusmichas Aparshios. The fact is that Drashi is only in very few places explaining what is the juxtaposition, the connection between one Parsha and the other. The fact it doesn't do it more often is Muchach as al derech hapshat, derech Rashi bepirusha al atero, is kein kashenit farvos seinen dafke di parshias muches. This itself indicates that Rashi's interpretations, but Rashi is always going with understanding the psukim, the verses, in its plain sense. So in Rashi's way of explaining Chumash, the juxtaposition, the connection of psukim, which are written one next to the other, doesn't create and doesn't beg for any explanation. It doesn't pose any difficulty. V'alachas kamo v'kamo, when the parshias kumen al seder hazmanim. Certainly, when the parshias are following a chronological order, then for sure Rashi is not looking to find what is the connection between one parsha and the other. So this is the way we always understand Rashi. The fact here that Rashi does come and explains us what is the connection of between these two portions obviously requires explanation. Even more so, the Rebbe continues, is that moving beneath the dan, bimeforshim fragen, vibald ashiluach hameraglim, is vorgekommen gleich noch parshas Miriam. Since the story of the Meraglim of the spies occurred immediately after the story of Miriam, Auf morgen noch die Shivas Yemei Esger Miriam. It happened the next day, the morning after they completed the 7 days of banishment that Miriam was locked up outside of the camp. So then, obviously, if you follow that chronological order, it makes very well sense why this parsha is written, Meraklim's parsha is written right after the parsha of Miriam. Is vos is do al derech ha-pshat tishai lelom nismecho. So why is it in pshat, why does it need any explanation that Rashi has to start, lom nismecho, that how comes that the parsha of the spies is placed next to the parsha of Miriam? So this is the question where the Rebbe brings in the name of commentaries. In footnote number 1, the Rebbe references to Re'ei Baruko Re'om Gur'aye Reish Pasha Seinu. He references to Rebbe Yom Mizrahi in the Maral in Gur'aye Vechulu and others in the beginning of the parsha, which they discuss this very question. And they have their answer. The Re'om, his answer is that since the story of Miriam happened in Chatzeros, and we also know that the story of Korach, as Rashi points out in Chumash Dvorim, also happened in Chatzeros. So therefore, these two stories happened in the very same location. However, the story of the Meraglim is as the verse says in the beginning of this parsha, in Pasuk Gimel, that they were sent from Midbar Poron. So therefore, Rashi is bothered, why is it that this story of Meraglim is placed next to the story of Miriam? Seemingly, if you go with the chronological order, the story of Korach should have been written first. And the fact that the Torah points out and makes it so that the story of Meraglim is mentioned in between, therefore, Rashi was looking also to explain it. This is what the Re'om says. Or, as the Gur'aye, the Maral says, that the very fact that last week's parsha ends up with the words, Vayisu o'om, Ba'achal nosu o'om echatzeroiz, and afterwards the people left Chatzeroiz, Vayachanu b'midbar Poron, and they camped in the wilderness of Poron. So the Maral explains that the Torah seemingly did not have to tell us that they traveled from Chatzeroiz, but we know that they are in Chatzeroiz, and they are just waiting for Miriam to finish her seclusion period, which is the 7 days that they are waiting for here. And from there, they obviously left. The fact that the Pasuk mentions Michatzeroiz is to indicate that that they left Chatzeros. And the fact that the Torah comes to tell us that they left Chatzeros is obviously to mention that the leaving of Chatzeros and then the camping in Midbar Paron is to connect one story to another. And that's why Rashi also comes to explain us why is it so important and why is the connection so necessary. So this is what they explain, as the Rebbe brings in the footnote, let's read it inside. Rei baruko re'om graye v'chul reish pashasenu v'tirutza min deyer enzer shehoyol lo lichtoi pashas koirach t'chilo, which is the re'om censors, that koirach should have been written first since it happened in Chatzero, it's the same place with the story of Miriam. Or miguf akro desoif pashas ba'al loischo which the Gur'aye answers, that the very fact that the Torah tells us that they left from Chatzeros and they came to Midbar Poron is to indicate that one happened in right next to the other, and the Torah wants to emphasize that this story happened right after the previous story. The story of Meraglim happened right after the story of living the place where Miriam was inflicted with Tzoras. So the Rebbe says that this answers loibo afilu loi beremez bepirush Rashi. This answer is not brought in Rashi. Rashi doesn't even hint to such an answer. Meaning that Rashi doesn't seem to hint that that was bothering him. Pashtus Loshon Rashi Muchach Shekushyos Irak Mitzat Pashtus Deshlach Lecha Noshim Atzmo. Rashi's problem with the story of Miraglim is for the very fact, why is that this story is coming right after the story of Miriam? But Rashi is not bothered because there are other reasons which makes the placement of the story challenging. And if that's the case, so then the question is, Rashi doesn't usually look to explain something like that. And why is it here that he does pose to mention the difficulty? And v'chein, he could finish up the other one, shara tirutim shebe mefarshim, einom al pi pshuter shel Rashi. The other answers which are being brought in the commentaries is also not following the nature of Rashi's explanations, which is pshutoi shel mikro, and also not in the pshuter shel Rashi. Also, what he mentions inside, that the story of Miraglim happened the next day after the Miriam finished the 7 days of banishment. So he brings an order to Shiluach HaMiraglim Oyo B'Chofteh Sivan. As Rashi points out in Dvorim, that the Miraglim was sent on the 29th of Sivan. V'soif Hezger Miriam Oyo B'Yoyim Shalif Lezeh. And the day which asked Miriam finished and completed the 7 day seclusion happened the day before, which is Chof Chesiv, the 28th of Sivan. So obviously it indicates that there was a chronological order of events, that the story of Miraglim happened right after the story of Miriam, so then why is Rashi bothered by it? In the footnote 2, or order 2, Rebbe makes even further notice that the fact that it happened right after the other is Mikoshkin Ledas HaShas. According to the Gemara in Tainis, that it comes out, and same thing the Reom in Dvarim brings it, that Shiluach HaMeraglim Oyo Beyoim Ashvi Dehesker Miriam. That not only the day after, but it actually happened on the very same seventh day, is when Miriam finished her banishment, is when the Miraglim was sent. So then obviously they are written very nicely one next to the other. For on that point, Rebbe says, Abel HaDerech HaPshat, Lo Mistavel Lo Imar, Shebe Oysa Yoim, Shvi, Deezger Miriam, Pirku HaMishkon, VeNosom BeChatzeroyis, VeYachnu BeMidbar Poron, VeYikimu HaMishkon, V'nifcheu ha-meraglin, v'nitztavu, v'nishlechu boi b'yoyim. In the simple pshat, it doesn't seem that Rashi goes with what it seems from the Gemara, that it happened on the same day. To say that on the very same day they demolished the Mishkan in Chatzeros, and they traveled, and they arrived in Midbar Poron, and they erected the Mishkan again, and they chose meraglin, and they were ordered what to do, and they were sent on the very same day, is not written, it does not make sense in the simple pshat of the verse. Ubi frat, and even more so, al pi mashenemel, deledibu shlach lecho kodmoi v'tikri b'nei lakulchem v'toimru, v'shak levetai de Moshe b'nei Yisrael, especially if you consider the whole story. In our parsha, parsha shlach, we don't have the whole background of how and what led Moshe to send Miraglim. But if you go to Chumash Dvarim, chapter 1, the Torah tells us that the way it was organized was that the people came to Moshe, and it was a give and take between Moshe and the people to send Miraglim, and why to send them, and so on. So to say that it all happened mamish in the same day that Miriam finished your 7 day period is also difficult, but either way, even in the way Rashi mentions that it happened the next day, so there is clearly a chronological order of events, and therefore the question is, why is Rashi bothered mit lama nismecha, why are they written one next to the other? Obviously, that's the normal way of writing the portions, is to bring how one story followed the previous story. So this is question number one. From then on, the Rebbe goes on to see Beis, and he asks a number of needed clarifications into Rashi. Seiv Beis. Euch darf man verstehen, kamo de yukim in Loshen Rashi. In addition, there are several points which need to be clarified in the way Rashi is written. Question number one, Aleph. Rashi says, Lefishelokso al iske diba, that Miriam was punished for being preoccupied with diba. Diba is translated perhaps as gossiping. The question is, Rashi od gidav zogen al loshinore. Rashi should have said, or used perhaps a more common term, which is loshinore. Loshinore usually is translated as slander. Vera Lein sagt in Parsha Shmos, Rashi himself uses that term regarding Miriam. When Rashi explains that Moshe was afflicted by Tzoras, Rashi says there that it was the same Tzoras like Miriam got later, and he uses the term Shelokso Miriam al Loshen Ore, that Miriam was punished for speaking Loshen Ore, for slander. So why does Rashi use a seemingly unusual term, Iske Diba, and not the term Loshon Hara that he himself already uses in Chumash Shmos? That very same question is even further explained. The Kasha is noch starker. It is even greater, the problem, because in a weiter dicker Pasik, later in this, in our Parsha, if you go to the next pasuk in chapter 14, pasuk lamed vav, verse 36, and there in that pasuk the word diba is actually mentioned. When the Torah says that they spoke diba on Eretz Yisrael, so it says like this. This is in chapter Perik Yudalet, pasuk lamed vav. So it says in the Torah that Vayoshuvu Vayelinu Elav Eskolo Edo Leoitzi Dibo Al Oretz, that they provoked the entire assembly Leoitzi Dibo to complain against him by bringing Dibo, a report against the land. What is the word Dibo? So Rashi says, the Eichtob, the word Dibo, says Rashi, Kol Oitzoaz Dibo Loshen Chinuch Dvorim, that the term diba, the expression of bringing a report, is lashon chinuch dvorim, connotes training in speech. And Rashi says, v'yeshno letoivo, v'yeshno lero. It can be diba for good, and it can be diba for bad. That's why he says that the pasuk writes, meitzie diba so oretz ro'o. They brought forward the evil report about the land because there are diba, which is a favorable diba. So he has to explain it was ro. So the very fact diba, which as Rashi says comes from the word doivev, doivev sifse yeshenim, doivev, it makes the lips move, speak, and that's what diba means. So it's just a term of speech. It's a term of speech, so since it can be for good and it can be for bad, so the question is, ein favozog drashe shel lokso al iske diba. The drashe begins that she was punished al iske diba, which literally, if you're going to translate it, it means that she was punished for matters of speech. She dibro beachio, she spoke against her brother. In diba is it muchach ken chet. In the word diba, which is literally speech, doesn't tell you that it means chet. It means that it was a sinful type of speech. The other rabbis can go zayin toiv. On the contrary, speaking or the type of gossip which is introduced in the word diba may be something positive, actually. So why does Rashi use necessarily that language, that term of Diba? This is question number two. Question number three. This is question number one. It's just in the question number two in the Sikha, but question number number one in the wording of Rashi. Base question number two. Favos is Rashi Moisiv Shedibro Beachio. Why does Rashi add the phrase that she got punished for speaking against her brother? Dois negea shelokso al iskei diba. The point of here in this pasuk is that she was punished for speaking and gossiping. Lemainaf kemine kol kachoy vemeziot giret. What difference does it make about who Miriam was speaking about that Rashi has to mention that there was dafke beochio, that she spoke against her brother? Question number three, Gimel. Favos is Rashi, malich bilshoinoi. Why does Rashi write in a so-called a lengthy description, v'reshoi malolu ro, that these evildoers saw what happened to Miriam, and they did not take a lesson? Rashi gidav zong bekitzer. Rashi should have said shortly, ve'em ro'u ve'loi lokhu musar, which is actually, as the Rebbe brings in the order six. I'm sorry. Rashi should have said reshoyim alolu ro'u. He should have said, ve'em ro ve'lo lokhu musar. And they saw, and they did not take any lesson to them from what they saw. Why is it important to write that these wicked people saw, and they did not take any lesson? In Veshlechas is Retzach ve'meraglim. We know that it's speaking about the meraglim. So why do you have to mention that they were reshoyim alolu? Basically, why is this lengthy description about what we're talking about and these wicked people saw and they did not take a lesson? Dalet adiu grow veloy lokhu musar. That he says they saw and they did not take a lesson. Why does Rashi use that term? We need ro musa v'loy shomoru. Why doesn't he say, and they saw the lesson, but we're not mindful about it? Ibemokim acher in Chumish, like we find in Chumish Olzvir, in Parshas Dvorim, when we have these words, this concept of ro musa, that people saw and they did not follow, They did not pay attention to what they saw. Why is it here mentioned in such a term, which is seemingly, it must have been some type of reasoning, of explanation, why Rashi is using this way of writing, and not the way it is written, Olzvir, as the Rebbe mentions in Parshas Ekev. In the end of Parshas Ekev, it mentions actually that Hashem says that your children, Asher lo yodu v'asher lo yirou es musar Hashem aleikechem. That, I can't complain to your kid who did not know and did not see es musar, the criticism of Hashem. So that's a word which is being used in Chumash. Ro musar v'loy shomaru. So that's the question here. And then comes five, the final question. Favos is almatik in dem dibur ha-maschil oir diver tashlach lecha anoshim. Why is in the header of the verse, why does Rashi also quote the words shlach lecha anoshim, send for yourself, man? It would have been sufficient just to quote a single word, shlach. But given genut matter in the word shlach. Shlach is enough. That's what he's looking to explain. The parsha is not explaining the word lecha anoshim. He's only coming to discuss why is this parsha coming after the story of Miriam. So just copy the quote of Ruach Lach, and there will be enough an introduction to what Rashi is looking for. Al derech vidon et parshas Ba'alo Yischo. We find as Rashi himself in the beginning of parshas Ba'alo Yischo, where he writes, Rashi is oich mefaris miches parshio es lo monis mecho parshas ha-menoiro le parshas ha-nesim. Rashi there too is looking to explain the connection of the two passages, the story of the menoiro and the story of the nesim and their offerings, which is mentioned in the end of parshas Nosoi. So he's looking to explain the end of parshas Nosoi in the beginning of Ba'alo Yischo, which is the order of the menoiro. But there Rashi only, in the Eder, he only quotes the single word, Ba'alo Yischo. And not Ba'alo Yischo es ha-neiros. So why is he here that also adding the word, Shlach lecho anoshim? So this is the five questions that we have in this Rashi, which obviously every word in the Rashi will be explained once we're going to go on with this understanding of the Sikha. So the question is, why does it say in the header, Lecho Anoshim, not just the word Shlach? Second question is, why is Rashi bothered? Why does the story of Meraglim happen after Parshas Miriam? Obviously, chronologically, they did happen to one extra the other, so what's the question? Next question, why does it say Iske Dibo, not Loshen Hara, especially the Dibo speech could be for the good? Why does it say Beocheo? Why is it important against whom she spoke about? And why does Rashi doesn't say just Ve'emro, they saw, without taking a lesson? Why does he mention them as Rishoim? And also, why does it say they did not take Musar a lesson? It should have said they saw and they did not obey it, like the verse indicates in Chumash Dvorim. So this is all the Yukim questions in Rashi, which all falls in the same discussion, the point of the Sicha, that the connection between the story of Miriam and the story of Meraglim is to explain really an understanding what exactly was and what he is that scene of the Meraglim. This is the discussion of the Sikha. So we'll continue now, Seif Gimel. Wird man das verstehen? To answer these questions, we're going to understand Behagdim, the Kashe from Ramban, a question which is raised by the Ramban. And as the Rebbe says in footnote 8, she kushi al derech hapshat. The Ramban is in the beginning of the parsha, but it's really a question which is even in the simple understanding of the story. What is the question? Vos is azoi grace the chei to meraglim. This is the question. What exactly is the great avera, the transgression of the spies? Why is it considered to be so terrible? Zeya shlichas is the given to ois gifinan as so oretz ma'i. They were sent out a shlichas. They had a mission. And the mission is as described in our parsha, verse 18, to find out as so oretz ma'i, what is the characteristics of the land, and the people who are populating the land, achozaku imrofa, is it strong or weak? Umeo orim vegoimer, what kind of cities are the cities, fortified cities or not? What type of people? This is all which they were asked to find out about Eretz Yisrael. So then the question is, as the Ramban uses in his term, is ma pishom umachatosom, what is the pesha? What is their sin? What is their crime wo sie haben erzählt dem Emes, was haben gesehen. The fact that they said the truth, what they saw. They said, as am azom, the orim betzurois gdoilois, the people are mighty, the cities are extremely huge and fortified. This is what they saw. And that was their shlichus, that was their mission, to find out and to bring a report on what they saw. So if this is what they saw, so why is it considered, as the Ramban says, in his words, Mapisha v'machatosam? Why is the spy's activity considered and condemned, and it's considered such a horrible and terrible sin? We cannot answer, as the Rebbe brings an answer, a possible answer. We cannot answer, as the Chet is bastanen in dem Sorgen Eretz Yechedes Yeshver. That what is the sin? By making a comment and saying that the land consumes its inhabitants, which is not something that they were asked to bring. This is like a personal evaluation about what happens to the people who live there. That doesn't describe the people themselves and doesn't describe the land itself. It's already a personal evaluation what they felt is happening to people who live there because of the land. So that perhaps will be considered a sin. Or does their moisline to them was on gizan oy hamaskone? As lo inuchala lo eski chozok umimenu. Or perhaps the fact that they said in the end of their words that lo inuchala lo es, we are not going to be able. In other words, they brought a conclusion. And the conclusion was that we are unable to go against these people, for they are stronger than us. Ki chozok umimenu. So this cannot be considered a sin. Why? But the Ramban sagt, the Ramban explains it, that noch eider som gesagt, die dosige die Burim, aus sich schon Kolever reingemischt, und war jas Kolever so am. Is moving from them, as the Friedeke reid, efes ki a so am, wie ordi, wenn ich schon gewinn, schelöike de boye. The Ramban himself says, he points out that even before the spies made their so-called particular statement about a land which consumes its inhabitants and we are not going to be able to make it, just after they said the people are strong in their huge fortified cities, Kolev, he already attempted to silence them, which indicates that just by reporting about the city itself and the people themselves, something was already wrong. That Kolev is trying to silence them. So if that was, so meaning the first part of the report is already wrong. And the question is, what wrong is it? They just related what they were asked to bring, as the Ramban asked. The oid, and even more so, afilas they respected the kereitu maskone loy nuchal alois. Even what they added afterwards in their conclusion that they said we are unable to go can also be rationalized and can be advocated for, as the Rebbe explains. Das kenechtom kenom alimutzchus nitachet, that it's not considered sinful. How? Because they have not said loy nale mirvel nita ruvgein epech tzivu Hashem. They didn't say loy nale, we won't go. Won't go means that you're going against Hashem's will. Hashem says we're going to go, and you say no, we won't go. But they did not say we won't go. No, rather, what did they say? Loy nuchalalois, we are unable to go, which means Leut sehr abschätzen die Starkheit von der Joschwe Oretz und die Keuches von Iden, oben Iden nicht die Keuches Alpiteva zu einem in Eretz so. Basically, they had their appraisal. And their appraisal of the strength, whether the military strength or the physical strength of the people who live in the land. And knowing the strength of the Jewish people, so in their mind, their evaluation was, their appraisal was that the Jewish people cannot possibly conquer the land, at least in a natural format. And that was their mission, to find out what can be done naturally. So therefore, they questioned it. Afil ezer zogn chazaku mimenu. Kaviyochol kalapei malo amro. Even according to those who explained, when they said that they are stronger than us, they actually meant it references to kalapei malo, to say that they are stronger than so to speak, God Himself. So maybe that is considered the sin. So the Rebbe says, no. Al derech hapshat, what does it mean, kalapei malo amro? Meint adelech hapshat, nit ha-kfirei ne-meibishn. That also doesn't mean a denial of Hashem. Nor, as the Umma is an azoi viel starker von Iden, as mi ken sich gar nicht vorstellen, wie azoi mi wird sich kennen, einkehren na viele durchnissen. What they meant to say is that the people who live in Israel, the nations there, are so much stronger than the Jewish people, that I can't even imagine that even through miracles, how are we going to get rid of them? How are we going to counter them? So they didn't mean to say, Chazak b'menu, God forbid, that they're stronger than God. It's not that. It's not the idea. The issue is that they are just expressing a certain element of wondering, how would it happen? It's more an expression about how they evaluated or they appraised the people living in the land rather than, God forbid, denying the Eibishter. And that was, again, as a part of their report, which the report was meant to be the natural way how to deal with the people in Eretz Yisrael. Was there far? Is Kolif Steine Enfer given nitav miken eine minute soll al piteva? That's why even Kolif, when he answered them, he does not claim that actually we could in fact conquer in Israel naturally. Unit nor as the Rebishter with Baikumen Umois duchnisim stam. That's why even he didn't even say, not only did he claim to conquer it naturally, he didn't even claim that Hashem would overcome their nations with miracles. Kolev didn't say it. But rather, no olei nale. What did he say? We are surely ready to go up. And Rashi explains that what did he say? That afilu bashomayim, ve'uoy merosu lonu sulomoy, osu sulomit ve'alu shom, natzliach b'chol dvoros. That Kolev is saying, we can go up even to heaven. If Hashem tells us to make ladders and go up to heaven, we will succeed in wherever He says. Min da folgen dem Eberschen on a cheshbin, a file men der gen ken Eretz Yisrael, ir bedugme zu a sach, was ot kein mol a file nit benetz nish passiert. Ole nale ba shomayim. So what he says here, that we are going to go to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be in a miraculous way, and he compares it to the so-called impossible by saying we are going to make ladders up to heaven, and that is our job, listening to Hashem without any considerations. So he himself says that it's not even a miraculous way of behavior, that the whole thing is something which we never heard of. We don't have any experience. We never saw something before. Not even in a way of in a miracle. We are going to climb up into heaven. This is an extreme description of how unnatural the expectations are of entering Eretz Yisrael. So even Kolev is kind of feeding to what the Meraglim are saying. So this is basically what they are saying. It's not happening naturally. Even miraculously, it is the so-called, it's not the usual type of miracles. So then the question is again, the Mechuv v'nishlecha Meraglim. Is given b'chdei ois tzugifin and ishtarket from Yeshve Yoreh. Since what was their mission? What was the objective of the Meraglim? Was to figure out the strength from Yeshve Yoreh of the people in the land to do them sich kennen great in Samil Chometivis. And through it, the Jewish people are going to prepare themselves for that natural war against them. Unal piteva is the opshatzung from the Meraglim, loy nuchalalo is given emes. So if we speak natural, from a natural sense, when they said we are unable to go, it was actually true. According to natural law, this is the truth, that they couldn't go. Ein vosiz azay the shturem from the yerchait, der mid vazom oi haroiz gizog de maskone from the opshatzung. So then, the question is, why is it so studemdik? Why do we make such a big deal of their so-called, of their crime, of their sin, reporting that the result, that we're not going to be able to come up, this is their appraisal. And their appraisal seemingly is right. So this is the question with the Ramban, and as the Rebbe explains further, the Ramban's question is the real question in our parsha. What's going on here? Why is it such a terrible sin? Or what exactly was it, the sin of the Meraglim? Or the kasha? This precisely is what the difficulty which Baren Verdrashi mit ein Perush Lomo Nismecho Chulu Lefisher Lokso. Is michus a pashias di zu verstehen in was is bestanden de chet am Meraglim. And this is exactly what Rashi wants to point out. That the fact that these pashias are written one next to the other, the story of Miriam, and Rashi is wondering why they're written next to each other, is because the fact that they're written next to each other is what explains us exactly what was the sin of the Meraglim, what was the terrible thing that the Meraglim did by reporting what they had reported, which is going to be explained soon. Before we continue, let's go through a few of the footnotes. One is footnote 11. When he brought inside the question of the Ramban, what is the crime of the Meraglim when they only said the truth about the strength, the force of the people, the strength of the people? So Rebbe brings Nor 11. Rei Ramban Shom, the Gam Moshe Rabbeinu, Ifliglo and Bechoyze Ka'om, that even Moshe himself was talking to them in great length about the strength of the people, Ube Miftzar Oreyem, and the fortified cities, v'koyach ha'anokim, yoysom im'oidim ha'she'om ramraglim, even more than the Meraglim themselves said. Moshe Rabbeinu says, efes ki'azo'om, this is words that he's using, that explaining what kind of strong and difficult situation it is to go into Eretz Yisrael. So then, obviously, the question is, what was the crime of the Meraglim themselves? And here he writes, V'tzolichim bepirush Rashi. Rashi, in chapter 13, verse 27, Yud Gimel Chof Zayin, Rashi says that when the Meraglim came and they said that the fruit, the land is Savas Cholov Udvash, flowing milk and honey, V'zepiryo, and this is its fruit. So Rashi says that the way they presented it is because called Dvar Sheker, any false matter, She'ein Oimrim Be'Ktzas Emes B'Tchilosa, in which they don't say a bit of true in the beginning, Eim Iskayim, does not hold up at end. So therefore, Rashi says, why did the spies made these so-called remarks about how beautiful the land is, although they intended to speak bad about Eretz Yisrael, because that Rashi said, because in order to keep your lie as a good lie, you have to use a little bit of truth in the beginning. So Rashi uses the word sheker, meaning that the Meraglim were actually lying. So that term, lying, so the Rebbe Sorichiyun needs explanation. They weren't lying. Ubifra, the question is even more, she meshane ze b'losh nashas, in Soite. The Gemara in Soite brings this idea. Rashi seemingly quotes it from the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say kol dvar sheker. The Gemara says that when they said the land is flowing milk and honey, says the Gemara, kol loshun ore, she'ein bo dvar emes b'tchilosei, that every loshun ore, which doesn't have any slander, needs to have a little truth in the beginning, in order for it to be standing till the end. Rashi doesn't use a shenor, Rashi writes sheker, and that word that the Meraglim were using, sheker, is needs explanation, because it seems that they were just reporting, and they were saying the truth of what they saw. And the Rebbe adds, le'oil, she'Rashi mefaresh, later, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, v'cheino inu be'ineyem, that when they described that they were feeling like grasshoppers, v'nei beinenu kechagovim, they were like grasshoppers in our eyes, v'cheino inu be'ineyem, and so too we were in their eyes. So Rashi says, shomanu oimrim ze leze, we heard them saying to each other, nemolim yesh bakromim, they are ants in the vineyards, ke'anoshim, which look like men. So Rashi says, Shomanu Emrim, we heard them saying, which that words regarding the grasshoppers that we heard them saying, there is an opinion in the Gemara in Saita that the Shakrava, that the Meraglim are ear lying. But here Rashi specifically does not say that they were lying, but Rashi quotes it that we heard them saying. So Rashi clearly does consider their words as true words. So the question is, why does he call it Dvar Sheker in the beginning of in Pasuk Chof Zayin? Abol Rei Rashi Shom, Rashi in the Gemara in Soite says regarding the grasshoppers, Velo Oyu Shakronim Bezois, that regarding that particular matter, they weren't lying, as it's also being explained in the Marsha, with Rebbe's Metzayan, that they weren't lying, being that they were actually hiding in the trees, and they appeared as grasshoppers, and that's what actually is what they said. But either way, the word checker is questionable, lie. Quotes from the Ramban says later, that there was two stages. First they started with truth, gossiping, and then it came out even with lies. And that's what the Ramban explains what Dibo is. But again, the Rashi, Dibo rak chinuch dvarim, Dibo just means, using words, speaking, training someone to speak words. And therefore, the question is, obviously, the word checker needs explanation. There's no answer on that question. But the main thing is that clearly in the Psukim, it is clearly that they brought simply a report, and the question is, what's wrong with that? This is footnote 11. In footnote 18, when the Rebbe asks that it seems that when Kolev quieted him down, so it was even regarding the first part of the report, which is simply just saying what they saw, indicates that even the first part of the report was not accepted. And the question is why? So he says in Or 18, Ubifrat Shebe Mishneh Torah, in Chumash Dvarim, Nemarak, Dira, like I said before, is where this story is being discussed in great detail. And Dira, it says that what did the Meraglim say? It says regarding the sin of the Meraglim, in the beginning of Dvarim, Pasik Chofei, it says, Acheinu, Eimasu, Es Levoveinu, Leimor, that our Am Godoil, Goimer, Abne, Anokim, it says that they said that on anachnu oilim, how are we going to go up? Acheinu imasus levoveinu, our brothers have melted our hearts, saying, a people greater and taller than we, cities great and fortified to the heavens, and even children of giants have we seen there. This is what he said. In the way the story is being reviewed in Chumash Dvarim, it doesn't mention at all that he said we wouldn't be able to go up there, or it's a land which consumed its inhabitants. So clearly you see that even the very fact what they said, and it's reported to Chumash Dvarim as seemingly the only thing they said, is already considered a part of their sin. And the question is why? Mashe kosov beroma nal rebliyo mizrachi right a kosov kitzo beinyen doicha god loimar sha kosov kitzo veish mito iker masho yocheto. The Rom says that that part is not mentioned, but the pasuk is using a short description. Obviously the Rebbe says it's very difficult to accept that that which is considered the main sin is emitted from the verses in Chumash Dvarim. The Avi in the Torah will only bring Rak Am Godel Shebaze Milush Lichusam, which is terms which actually is expressing their fulfillment of their mission, Ki Gidu Mashero, Veloy Chotu, and that's not even considered a sin. So again, obviously it seems that everything they said was wrong somehow. And the question is why? Also, in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Matos, it says, "Koyosa v'sechem v'yoniu eslev bnei Yisrael lebilti boya l'oretz," that your forefathers turned the heart away of the people to enter Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, where did they turn it away? Where did they turn it away? There's also in footnote 22, it's interesting when the Rebbe brings inside that according to Pshat, when they said Chazaku Mimenu, is according to Pshat, they weren't denying the existence of Hashem. The Rebbe says, "Avel rei Tanya, soif perik chavtes," meaning, according to Pshat, it didn't seem they were denying the existence of Hashem, but in the sign to Tanya, in the end of perik chavtes, which there, the Alter Rebbe does mention that that when the Meraglim said Chozak u'mimenu, is actually an indication of questioning God, as he mentions there before, that that came from the Sitracha, and that's what he said, you know, that we're not going to be able to go up. But at the same time, by Moshe screaming and rebuking them, that broke the Sitracha aspect and revealed the Remuna, the inner Remuna, the Deyev. That's why he said that Moshe Leidor Azois, meaning it seems from the Alter Rebbe in Tanya that there was a discussion about Emuna versus Kfira. But this is, in Pshat, they did not say anything which seems denying the power of Hashem, but rather bringing the natural observation of what they saw, and that's why the question is seemingly what's wrong with that. Continuing Se'iv Dalet, the beer in them, the explanation is as follows. Dos was Rashi fragt, Loma Nismecho, Chotto Shiluach Miraglim is Forgikum and Gleich noch Pashas Miriam. Even though this story happened immediately, like we said before, right after the story concerning Miriam happened the story of Miraglim. The reason why Rashi is asking why are they next to each other is by Al Pipshuto Shil Mikro. Darf man amol mafsig sein zwischen zwei Parshiyos, chotsch, as al pisei des manim, om sie gedarf gstehen bis michu zulezu. Because really, it according to Pshute Shemikro, there is really reason to say that even though two stories happen next to each other, still, despite this fact, the Torah will still have to use an interruption between them. Al that, where do we find it? Al that, if Rashi should be fast being freed by the parsha Vayibin Soya Oren. Belomo nicht of Kansas Rashi, kede lehafsik bein Puronius lepuronius. So if we go back to parsha Balo Yisro, so we know in Parshas Balo Yisro, chapter 10, Pasuk Lamed Hei, verse 25, is mentioned a parsha for itself, which actually has like an opposite nun, indicating in the beginning of it and in the end of it to indicate that this is a parsha for itself. Vayi v'nsoya oroin v'yoyim ha-moisha. And Rashi tells us there, why are those signs? Why was it written here? Says Rashi, it's in order to make an interruption between the pasuk which deals with the trouble, one trouble, and the other trouble. There is the trouble which is mentioned earlier, before Vayibin Soya Oroin, and then there is the trouble which is mentioned later, and in order to interrupt between them, that's why the Torah puts the passage Vayibin Soya Oroin. This is from the Gemara in Shabbos. So here, so he brings over here too. So just like Rashi said here, Vayibin Soya Oroin is an interruption. So here too, we find sometimes that the Torah uses as an interruption. The Rebbe, by the way, says in Ora 28, but this itself should not be answering Rashi's question, which he brings from the Gemara. The Maral actually uses that word that Rashi, which Rashi says that the Torah separate between two situations, two types of situation, which are called Puronus, which deals with trouble. So the Maral, for example, says this is actually the reason why they are, why Rashi was bothered that the fact that the psukim are written next to each other. But the Rebbe says that this should not be an answer, as we're going to see soon. But either way, we do find the concept that things happen next to the other, and they are still not mentioned and written specifically one next to the other. So too, in regard to our discussion, as we learned, the two parshiyos, parshas Miriam and parshas Meraglim, one and the zweite, and in beide retzich, fein la'in v'loshen harem, when you learn the first story about Miriam. Then you learn a second story about the spies, one after the other. And both stories speak about the same theme. The theme seemingly is Lashon Hara, slander. Kemen ob ma gewaldigen tos. A person might make a horrible mistake. und meinen, als Miriam und die Meraglim seien in demselben Darge Chas v'Sholem oder Akolponim Enlach und Somuch Zelo Zebeteuchnum. The mistake is be that person may think that the story of the spies is in the same so-called spiritual wrongdoing of the story of Miriam. And they are similar and close to each other, and therefore in their content, in their toichen, they are close to each other, and therefore they are written next to each other, even though, as the Rebbe is going to explain, we see a bunch of differences. A person may still make that mistake, and therefore the Torah should have seemingly separated them. And that's what Rashi quotes the question, why aren't they separated? But let's read it inside. Unchot shal mizedem chilik min ha-kotze la-kotze zubishen li-toi-tzoes von ze-chotoyim. Even though we see the differences in the consequences of their sins, very clear, they are all different. But Miriam is oich nor dem bivatisogi Miriam is ve'om le-nosa ad Yosef Miriam ze-akovat cholad la-mokoyim. That by Miriam we see that even after she was banished, no one left, and they continued, no one continued traveling until she returned, and that was considered covered a special respect, as the Torah tells us. And Rashi explains that the Eibishter, God Almighty, gave here that everybody is waiting in a camp until she recovers from her leprosy. So obviously, if you see the respect she is given, so you know that your sin cannot be considered too great. Masha'enkein, in contrast, regarding the story of the spies, is Aleph di Meraglim is vayom musu b'magefo. Number one, the spies were killed by the plague. No one recovered. Beis, der ganze doir is diplo b'midbor. The entire generation was doomed to die in the desert, as the Torah tells us. Gimel 3, Iberdem is ubneichem yuroim b'midbor abayim shana. That the Torah tells us that the children of that generation will have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. 40 years. So even though when you read these two stories, you understand that you cannot compare one to another. But still, Kemen Ober Zogin, Ados is neither far, was the Meragid and Given Reshoim, that you can think that these differences is not because, or it doesn't prove that the spies were wicked. No, weil duch nid sein zoyer bediburam, weilen alle Iden nicht schon geworden, im Erida Ba'ashem und in die Welt gehen in Eretz Yisrael. Was enge bei Miriamen, was in Loshonores given bloß, a inyen proti. Person may think that what separates and what differentiates the story of Miriam and the spies is only that Miriam spoke against Moshe, which was regarding an individual. But the way the spies spoke, they basically caused all the Jewish people to stumble in so-called rebelling against Hashem, not wanting to enter Eretz Yisrael, not wanting to come up to Eretz Yisrael. So this obviously makes it much worse than what Miriam did, which, under fire, is Rashi Matik in the Dibur HaMaschil of the Verter Lecho Anoshim. This actually answers one of the questions that we had before, why Rashi in the header also says Lecho Anoshim? Why doesn't it just say the Witch Lach? weil das ist noch mehr mechazig, die Efschorius Litois, als die Meraginen in gleich, akoponim enlach zu Miriam. Because, by adding these words, that even further increases the risk of mistakenly thinking that the Meraginen the spies were actually comparable to that scene, akoponim enlach, at least similar to what Miriam did. Why would we think so? Well, das sind mir ragim dann geschi gewon lechol deitcho von Moishen. Das schlach lecho anoshim. Lecho anoshim, so means that Moishe clearly, personally choose and picked and send the spies. And the deitcho. If a Zachrai is the Shlichas, it was a very critical, very responsible mission. But weiss das, as they have vermogged the greatest miles. And not the miles, nor in the mean Shlichas befrat, that these people, the spies, were people who possessed tremendous miles, tremendous virtues. And not just generic miles. But specific virtues would have been needed to successfully fulfill their mission, their shlichas, in regard to Israel. Bis di Teire ruf zu ananashim. Teire is referring to them as anashim. Men, was men virashe tait stob, Rashi says, what does the word men mean? Lo shechashivus ksheirim moyu. The word men indicates high standard or high standing people, and this is people who were fitting to their job. So therefore, these words lecho anoshim that Rashi brings in his header shows that these people, when they were sent by Moshe, were actually important and significant people, that it's possibly allowing to consider that they are similar to what to Miriam on the level. And that's what Rashi is using the word lecho anoshim. Because it's all getting into the mind of the one learning this story and wanting to think that there is a possible relationship to the story of the spies and what they had done and to what Miriam did against Moshe. Even though they were obviously different consequences. So you can explain yourself why the differences were. But still, the Lashon Hara itself, so to speak, is very similar. So kedei tzu shoyl zayn azatoes. Kedei tzu shoyl azatoes, in order to make clear, not to even possibly consider making such a mistake. Unklorn machen as di meraglim. Seine nitchas v'sholem afan en lache darge, but rather to make clear that the meraglim, the spies, were not considered on that level of Miriam. O di tere lichure gidaf mafzik sein zwischen die zwei parshiyos mit an ander inyan. So in that case, the Torah should have separated the two passages. There should have created an interruption between those two stories, even they happened chronologically at the same time, but in order to avoid such consideration that they are similar stories, the Torah should have separated them. And the Riba fragt Rashi, Lomo nismecho pashas meraglin pashas Miriam. And that's what Rashi is asking actually here, which he doesn't usually ask. Why is the story dealing with the Meraglim written and placed next to the Parsha of Miriam, which might allow a person to think that what the Meraglim did is actually similar to what Miriam did? This is why Rashi is asking it. Rashi is asking it because really this should not happen. We don't want people to consider that they are similar. They were not similar. And there is reason to think that they are similar, but they are not. So why Taka does the Torah mention the one next to the other? And then the Rashi comes and answers, and that answer will actually explain what the Meraglim did wrong and what Miriam did wrong.